Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up on this bulletin, we'll take a look to all the latest general election news as the campaigns wager on. Women, girls and members of the LGBTQ plus community are coming together this evening to discuss how to make Derry feel safer for them. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan is seeking to avert a potential last-minute legal change to the A5 road upgrade. And a Lifford Stranorlar councillor says once speed changes on regional and national roads take effect, Gardaí must ensure they are enforced. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport and Chris Ashmore will have the farming news and views after the obituary notices. Start this bulletin, the general election news. On the campaign trail, Sinn Féin is promising to halve the waiting time for asylum seeker applications. Fine Gael is committing to abolishing the means test for carers allowance and Fianna Fáil plans to bring down waiting lists for all patients to 3 months. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Abolishing the means test for carers allowance was top billing for Fine Gael today, with the Taoiseach Simon Harris in DCU fielding questions about why anyone who's been in government for 13 years can bring a new energy.
I'm trying to bring a new energy to my political party. Yes, my party has been in power for a while. Some people say that is a bad thing. I say that with a sense of pride, because when my party went into government, there wasn't a bean in this country, there wasn't a bob. The IMF were here, the Troika, we were having to ask other people in other countries what we could and couldn't do with our country.
Though this morning, the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald took issue with that presentation from Simon Harris.
For somebody who talks a lot about like new energy and new ideas, Simon Harris actually has no new ideas. And in the absence of ideas of his own, it seems he seems to be pretty intent on stealing Sinn Féin's ideas.
McDonald was this morning pledging to set up a new agency to deal with immigration and cut waiting times for asylum applications in half to around 6 months for an initial decision. Fianna Fáil, meanwhile, talking health and reducing waiting times for patients to 12 weeks. It's also promising millions euro more for cancer care, ICU beds and to ban the sale of high caffeine energy drinks to children. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Well, in Donegal, Senator Nicky Bradley, a Fine Gael candidate, has backed the Taoiseach's move to abolish carers' mean test and introduce a new family care payment, saying it will support thousands of family carers across Donegal. Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has outlined Fianna Fáil's radical plans to support Ireland's 1,300 small schools, 114 of which are in Donegal. This pertains to schools with four or teachers or fewer, and would see the implementation of a nationwide small schools charter, providing additional resources to help with the administrative and leadership demands. And finally, independent candidate Deputy Thomas Pringle has today released his manifesto, Build From Firm Foundations. The TD says if re-elected, he will undertake a people-first approach with housing, healthcare, appropriate schooling spaces and the defective concrete crisis at the top of his agenda. Women, girls and members of the LGBTQ plus community are coming together this evening to discuss how to make Derry feel safer for them. It follows a spate of recent sexually motivated attacks on women in the city. Police patrols have already been upped. Gretty Horgan is from the Alliance for Choice for Derry, which is organising tonight's public meeting.
What we need to do is to bring people together, and that's what we're doing on Thursday night, to look and see what we can do. What kind of demands do we want? We hear all the time our politicians saying that they want to end violence against women and girls.
Well, women from the city say education and an increased police presence would also help matters.
I have no clue what they could do to make it safer. I'm glad I'm not bringing up children in this day and age.
Educating your sons and to be a bit more respectful towards girls, as even older women as well.
I'm all for more police presence and all that sort of stuff.
West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan is seeking to avert a potential last-minute legal change to the A5 road upgrade. News of the potential challenge emerged last evening with the submission of a preliminary document to the Department of Infrastructure. Mr McCrossan says after a substantial public inquiry, people in the area believed that the end was in sight, and this has come as a crushing blow. He's urging those behind it to drop the legal challenge, adding if it does go before the court, he hopes that it's dealt with as quickly as possible.
The details are very late at the minute. It's a pre-action intention at the minute. I suppose the real question here is why would someone put that into the department if they didn't have the intention of following it through with an actual legal challenge? So there is significant potential for a legal challenge. That is enough to cause concern, and it certainly has been enough to annoy quite a lot of people, people who attended the public inquiry last year. It took a huge amount of bravery to speak out about the loss of their loved ones. Thousands of people have been injured as a result of this road, and that's not even to mention the huge amount of hindrance that has been caused to local businesses that are stuck in traffic across Oma and Strabane and further afield.
As you said, there's been a public inquiry. There have been legal challenges before. Given that that's the case, would you be hopeful that if something does go before the courts, that it can be disposed of quickly?
I would hope that it's dealt with speedily. The determination is entirely in the hands of the court, but I have every confidence that the Department for Infrastructure have dotted their I's and crossed their T's. I have every confidence that all that was required to be done is done. And I would hope that when it does go through the process, that it is quick and swift, and that the desired outcome that matches the will of the people to see the A5 delivered is the outcome. But we do not want to see any delays, because let's be honest, the more this road is delayed, the more lives that are put at risk. And I want to see that road as intended starting in the new year. So let's hope, if this potential legal challenge comes about, that it will go through the process swiftly so that we can get on with the job of building the A5 and saving lives.
A technical assessment of the proposed site for a new build for Skull Warra National School in Milford has been carried out by the Department of Education officials. Welcoming the development, Minister Charlie McConnell says the inspection, which took place yesterday, was a significant step in the process of securing a new school building. There have been 37 sexual assaults reported at Western Trust hospitals from 2019 until 2024. The region has seen the least number of reports in Northern Ireland, from a total of 2,341. The Health Minister for Northern Ireland confirmed the figures to DUP LMA Jonathan Buckley in a written parliamentary question. 15 occurred at Eltonagalvin Hospital, 3 at Oma Hospital and Primary Care Centre, and the remaining 19 were reported at the South West Acute Hospital. Mr Buckley raised the issue at Stormont earlier this week.
In the last 5 years, 2,341 sexual assaults have happened in our accident and emergencies and hospital estate across Northern Ireland. It is hugely concerning to us all. I want to raise some of the numbers. Western Trust, 37. Belfast Trust, 1,482 sexual assaults in the last 5 years. It has trebled, members. Northern Trust, 255. Southern Trust, 333. And Southeastern Trust, 234. There is huge concern, and I would hope that the Minister will hopefully explain what is this trend in the very near future.
New research shows a quarter of drivers involved in fatal crashes over the past 5 years were driving to work at the time. A survey carried out by the RSA found people driving to work are more likely to exceed speed limits and use a mobile phone while driving. It also found HGVs represented 11% of vehicles involved in fatal collisions. Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnerships and External Affairs, says there's a lot of factors at play.
People who are driving for work may be undertaking more kilometres per year than the person who isn't. They may be driving in adverse weather conditions or driving by night or out of hours. They may be tired or fatigued. They may be under pressure as a result of work pressures and trying to get from one job to the next.
Well, a Leopardstown Order councillor says once speed changes on regional and national roads take effect, Gardaí must ensure that they're enforced. A municipal district meeting was told by senior roads and transportation official that new speed signs are to be erected in the coming weeks and will be covered with black plastic until they are to be implemented. The first phase will see some national roads reduced to 80 kilometres per hour and regional roads reduced to 60 kilometres per hour. Councillor Patrick McGowan says, however, without proper enforcement, the changes of the signs will be in vain.
We're told that signs will be put up, they'll be all covered, and then they'll be all unveiled at the one time in the new year. That's part of the new legislation. But basically, my question is, who's going to implement it? And time again, we get reports, all get on to the council about speed and roads. And it has to be made very clear, and the Gardaí need to, you know, to say this themselves. There's only one Garda force in the country in enforcement, and that is the Gardaí. The council has no role in enforcement whatsoever. It's the Gardaí. So the government can legislate the speed limit, the council will oblige, and they will put up the signs, but it is the Gardaí that has to enforce it. I'm not sure how proactive that is actually being pursued, because we got a commitment there less than a month ago, a few weeks ago, from the superintendent to say the likes of the Belfast and Arthur Garda station will be opened all during the week, and depending on the staff, will be opened at the weekend. The ink hasn't been dried in that, and that's fallen by the wayside already.
Police in Strabane are urging businesses to be vigilant after reports this week of counterfeit currency being used at businesses in Castle Derg. Employers are also asked to ensure policies are in place in a bid to equip staff for when the situation arises. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Police received three reports yesterday concerning a female who had used a counterfeit £20 note to purchase items in three shops. A male is also reported as having attempted to use a similar note in one of the shops, but when questioned about the legitimacy of the note, it's reported he took it back and left the premises. These incidents are reported to have occurred from a period starting at 12:45 yesterday afternoon. Police attended all three premises and spoke with staff. They also carried out patrols in the area. Inquiries are ongoing and police are urging any other businesses to whom this has happened but haven't yet reported it to make contact. Police are urging business owners and employees to be vigilant when handing money. Employers should ensure store staff are aware of how to examine notes and have a policy in place for staff to follow on discovery of a counterfeit note. This should include the retention of the note, contacting police with description of the person passing the suspect banknote.
A roadside on the Derry Donegal border has been altered to read "You're now entering occupied Ireland" rather than Northern Ireland. A group called Derry Lasser Yarg have taken credit for the act on social media. It's their belief that the incident highlights the reality of British occupation and partition in Ireland. Meanwhile, police say they're making inquiries. The time is now 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and Mark Gallagher will be back at the sports desk. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and the Derry County Board are set to ratify Paddy Talley as their new senior football manager tonight. Talley played a key role in the backroom team of Kerry's 2022 All-Ireland win, helped Tyrone claim Sam Maguire in 2003, and managed it down from 2019 to 2021. In golf, the first day of the season-ending DP World Tour Championship in Dubai is in the books. With a roundup of the action on day one, here's Dennis Kerwin.
Rory McIlroy will match Severiano Ballesteros' 6 European Tour Order of Merit titles if he finishes in the top 10 this week, and he's made a great start in a share of the lead with Tyrrell Hatton on 5 under par after an opening round of 67 that included 6 birdies and just 1 drop shot. Hatton has finished first and second in his last 2 starts, and his opening 67 puts him alongside McIlroy at the top of the leaderboard, while last week's winner in Abu Dhabi, Paul Waring, has continued his good form. He's 4 under after a round of 68. Tom McKibben is hoping to rise into the top 10 automatic places to secure a PGA Tour card for next season. He's 11th at present, and McKibben chipped in at the last for a solid opening effort of 71. While Shane Lowry also began with a fine 1 under par round of 71, he had 2 birdies in just a single drop shot today. But it's Rory McIlroy and Tyrrell Hatton who lead on 5 under par after day 1 in Dubai. At the DP World Tour Championship, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Our golf coverage is with Halpiny Golf, top brands, best prices. And, well, McIlroy has been speaking after his impressive first round in Dubai.
My criticism of my game over the past 18 months has been that my misses have been too destructive. You know, my misses have gotten too big. So if I can, you know, we're not going to hit perfect golf shots all the time. So if you can minimise your misses and at least have your misses be in front of you and not, you know, too far to the side, that's a big thing.
In soccer, Ireland welcome Finland to the Aviva Stadium tonight, with both teams battling relegation in League B of the Nations League. The hosts will avoid the automatic drop if they secure at least a draw against a Finland team which they beat in the reverse fixture in Helsinki last month. Festi Ebosele and Dara O'Shea are both doubts for Ireland, while Sammy Smodics is likely to partner Evan Ferguson in attack. Ireland boss Heimir Hallgrímsson wants his players to impress ahead of the World Cup qualifiers.
It's probably our last chance. Try out things. This camp. But still, we wanna do good. We wanna play good and keep the consistency going.
UEFA have confirmed it is investigating suspended referee David Coote after a new video has emerged. The latest footage appears to show the match official in a hotel room with white powder while on duty at last summer's Euros in Germany. Coote was already under fire after seemingly using derogatory language about Liverpool and their then-manager Jurgen Klopp. Claudio Ranieri has come out of managerial retirement to become the head coach of Roma. The 73-year-old retired in May after helping Cagliari avoid relegation from Serie A. It will be the 19th club that Ranieri has managed during a 37-year career. Most famously, he guided Leicester City to the Premier League title in 2016. In snooker, Ronnie O'Sullivan is out of the Champion of Champions event in Bolton. The seven-time world champion lost by 4-3 to China's Xiao Guodong. Guodong now faces either Mark Selby or Sean Murphy in tonight's quarterfinal and is currently 1-all in their last 16 tie. In motorsport, Formula One have agreed a 6-year contract extension to continue staging the Monaco Grand Prix. The race along the streets of Monte Carlo featured in the first ever championship season and has been a mainstay on the sports calendar since 1955. Today's deal ensures drivers will be back in action on the banks of the French Riviera until at least 2031. And finally, on the score this evening, we'll look ahead to the National Cross Country Championships at senior under 20 and underage level. There's a host of Donegal athletes making their way to Enniskillen for the event on Sunday, and Patsy McGonigal will have a preview for us this evening. While in our local soccer segment, we'll hear from the Bonagie United and Fannin United camps ahead of their Donegal League Premier Division clash this weekend. The ATU Donegal footballers have retained their CUFL Premier Division status. Manager Shane Byrne joins us on the programme, and we'll also speak with Declan Kerr, who is getting ready for the Donegal Sports Star Awards. That's all coming up on the Score programme this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Look into weather for tonight. It'll be mostly cloudy with patches of light rain or drizzle along with mist and fog. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, Fine Gael is committing to abolishing the means test for carers allowance, and Fianna Fáil plans to bring down waiting lists for all patients for up to 3 months. That's the latest in the general election campaign trails. Women, girls and members of the LGBTQ plus community are coming together this evening to discuss how to make Derry feel safer for them. It follows a recent spate of sexually motivated attacks on women in the city. Police patrols have already been upped. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan is seeking to avert a potential last-minute legal challenge to the A5 road upgrade. News of the potential challenge emerged last evening with the submission of a preliminary document to the Department of Infrastructure. Mr. McCrossan says after substantial public inquiry, people in the area finally believed that the end was in sight, and this has come as a crushing blow. And finally, a technical assessment of the proposed site for a new school building for Skulwarra National School in Milford has been carried out by Department of Education officials. Welcoming the development, Minister Charlie McConnellogue says the inspection, which took place yesterday, was a significant step in the process of securing a new school building. That's all for now for Highland Radio News. We'll be back at 6 o'clock with headlines, and Chris Ashmore's farming news and views will be up after the obituary notices. Good evening. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, November 14th. The death has taken place of Robert Haughey, formerly of Listillion Letterkenny. Robert's remains will repose at his daughter Sandra and husband Brian Diamond's residence, Raymahe Manor, Cunningham, this evening until 10 p.m. and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral leaving there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel, followed by interment in St. Patrick's Church Cemetery, Drumkeen. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to St. Eunan's Nursing Home Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Barry Quigley, 28 Bells Park Road, Sion Mills, reposing at his home today from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam or on churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Maureen Burns, Nee Rogers, Gort Naski, Kilmacrennan. Remains are reposing at her home. House strictly private at the request of the deceased. Funeral service on Saturday at 12 noon in Letcher Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral service can be viewed on Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Donations, if desired, to Lake House Nursing Home Residence Comfort Fund, care of Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of John Joe Carlin, Ballinacore Crossroads, Killigordon, reposing at the family home. Funeral from the family home tomorrow at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be finding out a little bit more about some election pledges for farmers. But first, a reminder that this evening at 6 o'clock, Inishowen Co-op is hosting an agri-information event at the Gateway Hotel in Buncrana. There'll be more than 30 exhibitors, including Teagasc, and a free draw on the night. Speakers will include Aidan Brennan, dairy editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, and Adam Woods, its deputy editor and beef editor, along with Sean Diver of their Tullamore farm. Also speaking will be representatives of Yara Ireland about their crop nutrition portfolio, and Marie McGlynn, a sheep specialist, who will discuss practical strategies for sheep health and conditioning. Well, the recycling of farm plastic in Donegal is proving to be very successful. Farm plastic recycling days were held at 9 locations around the county this year, and farmers were able to dispose of silage wrap, fertiliser bags and feed bags and twine. Well, according to figures seen by Highland Radio, more than 1,290 tonnes of material was collected in Donegal at these designated recycling centres. And meanwhile, Donegal County Council has warned farmers once again about the illegal disposal of waste. The burning of domestic, industrial, agricultural and construction waste is an offence under the Waste Management Act, and failure to comply can result in prosecution. Indeed, in one case in Waterford this year, a farmer was caught burning farm plastics, household and other wastes in his farmyard. He was fined €500 plus costs, including outstanding fire service charges of €3,950. And so the countdown to the general election continues. Fianna Fáil has vowed to deliver a farm retirement scheme if re-elected. Party leader Micheál Martin has also pledged that his party would deliver a €350 suckler cow payment and €35 for ewes for farmers if returned to power. Taoiseach Simon Harris has committed to increasing the inheritance tax threshold to €500,000, and Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has told the IFA that any wealth tax her party would introduce, if in government, would not impact farmers. To find out more, I've been speaking with Anne O'Donoghue, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yes, Chris, the farming vote very much was in vogue this week on the campaign trail. It was all happening in the Irish Farm Centre this week. There was a number of politicians, all party leaders. We had Micheál Martin, Billy MacDonald and Simon Harris addressing the IFA's National Council. Micheál Martin was honing in on a retirement scheme in particular and said that Fianna Fáil would deliver a retirement scheme for farmers if they were re-elected. Now, some listeners, farming listeners, may know that a farm retirement scheme has been quite in vogue at the moment, and it is one thing that keeps coming up again and again and is included in Fianna Fáil's manifesto. The farm retirement scheme came back on the cards around the time of the Tullamore show. Minister McConnell announced in the morning of the Tullamore show that he was going to establish a commission on generational renewal, and that that commission would examine the possibility of a farm retirement scheme. And it gained a lot of traction with farmers, Chris. There's among certain farmers, and from talking to farmers in the ground, particularly even at the Planting Championships this year, there, among certain farmers, there is an appetite for a farm retirement scheme. So it's kind of something that has rolled on. There's been repeated calls for it. There seems to be a lot of interest in it. So I suppose Fianna Fáil really saying that they will deliver that if they're in government. Also, particularly for Donegal listeners, a lot of farmers, suckler and sheep, Fianna Fáil said they would deliver a payment of €200 per for a suckler cow. Now, at the moment, that is a €200 payment for a suckler cow that you'd be getting between the National Beef Welfare Scheme and the SCEP. So that would be a significant increase. And they're also pledging €35. So significant promises there from Fianna Fáil in their manifesto this week. We don't have a Fine Gael manifesto out just yet. So we don't know the exact, I suppose, details of what they'll have in it until a couple more days. But Simon Harris was also addressing the IFA's National Council, and he, as you said that he would increase the inheritance threshold to €500,000. So it was already increased recently in the last few weeks. So he said he'd increase that again.
Now, I suppose, Anne, one of the difficulties is that whoever gets into power won't be able to implement their policies in full, because there's not going to be a one-party government. And then also, farmers are going to be approached by the smaller parties and the independents. So what we end up with and what is promised are not always going to be in the same category.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure there's plenty of Donegal farmers listening to this now and saying, if we had all of that and all these promises, that they'd be emmering the micha, for want maybe of a better phrase. But I suppose these are the promises that are on the table at the moment. To get these on paper and to get politicians on the record, it's something that you can come back to them with again if they do enter into government, because these promises have been made. Mary Lou MacDonald, Sinn Féin leader, also addressed the IFA's National Council, one of their main, you know, election promises that they're going to bring in a wealth tax for millionaires, so the farmers will be exempt from that. Obviously, the farmers have quite a considerable amount of assets, so she was promising that. There's a lot. The farm organisations are also coming out at the moment. The IFA is calling for a kind of a revamp or a rebranding of Acres and the environmental scheme, and they're saying that they want payments of up to £15,000 for that. So the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association also brought out their election manifesto this week. And as the headline in the Farmers Journal says this week, they're calling for greenways to be given the red card. They're calling for the end for the development of greenways and cycle paths. Also, interestingly, for hill farmers, they're calling for a ban for no non-working dogs in the hills. And also might be of interest to Donegal, because you do have a Gaeltacht area up there. They're calling for an annual payment of €3,000 for farmers in Gaeltacht areas who can speak Irish. So, very diverse and interesting proposals there. Just for anyone who's interested, I suppose, in the farm politics side of thing as well, Chris, the Irish Farmers Journal is holding their election debate with the farm leaders. So that's Minister McConnellogue, Minister Martin Hayden from Fine Gael, Minister Pippa Hackett, Eddie Punch, the candidate from Independent Ireland, are all going to be on the election debate for the Farmers Journal. It's on farmersjournal.ie tonight at 7 p.m.
And that was Anne O'Donoghue, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. The National Potato Conference and Trade Show 2024 will take place in the City North Hotel, that's in Gormanstown in County Meath, on Thursday the 21st of November. Registration from 9 o'clock. Now, organised by the IFA in association with Chagas and Bord Bia, the conference theme will be Potatoes Looking to the Future. IFA National Potato Chair Sean Ryan said the challenges for growers producing potatoes have increased substantially in the past 2 years, with increased costs, regulatory burden and the availability of land and seed. A retail expert will address the topic of consumer trends and the outlook of potatoes, and Kantar will give an update on consumer trends, while Bord Bia will explore marketing opportunities for potatoes. The conference will also discuss the trade negotiations which are impacting the availability of seed potatoes and delve into blight control for the upcoming season. Well, despite efforts by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine to curb the spread of bovine tuberculosis by implementing a badger vaccination programme, the incidence of the disease has increased. That's according to the chair of the Irish Farmers Association's Animal Health Committee, TJ Marr. And latest figures show that the total number of reactors removed in the last 12 months to the end of quarter three this year has risen to 37,900 from 25,900, and the herd incidence rate has increased to 5.6% from 4.7% during the same period. There were a number of pockets where the incidence rates were higher in Donegal, notably in the south and east of the county. And just a date for the diary, the Teagasc National Beef Conference takes place in Carrigan-Shannon on Tuesday, November the 19th, with a range of exhibitors. And finally, sales of tractors are a useful barometer of how the agricultural sector is doing. The latest vehicle licensing figures show that the number of new tractors licensed in Ireland for the first 8 months of the year is down 8% from 2,155 to 1,976. Interestingly, there are almost as many used imported tractors being licensed for the first time each month. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.